Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Brooke shuts it down on Bold and the Beautiful. Newman and Jabot face off on The Young and the Restless. The gay storyline is the best thing that Days of Our Lives still has going. And Dante gets an unexpected surprise on General Hospital. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome, Mike Jubonville.
Hi, Luke Kerr.
And Sarah Bell. Welcome.
Hi. You know what I really like about Luke is that he was one of the rare people who pronounces my last name properly.
So what? What is it?
Just like Luke said it.
Which
Sarah Bell?
Yep.
I say it like that too.
Yeah.
And Luke can't pronounce anything.
So I know.
Count yourself privileged,
girl. Sarah, tomorrow, watch. Next tomorrow, he gonna be like Sarah Bubble, and you gonna be like, "Damn it, I spoke too soon." Watch.
Let's talk a little bit about the Bold and the Beautiful this last week. Brooke is back and telling it like it is. Sarah,
this show is just a delight to watch. I just am gonna be really sappy and like compliment everybody involved with the show for giving us some awesome soap. But you know, I love how Brooke came back and kicked ass and took some names. I mean, when she told everyone off, she hates everybody, which is what's really kind of great about the situation. She hates Maya for being just like her. She hates Caroline for being with Ridge. She hates Rick for creating drama in her life. She hates Ridge for being with Caroline. She just is on a tyroid trying to tell everybody about their ass, and it is delightful.
Jillian?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, I totally want it somehow for Brad Bell. I'm like, you have the money. Look at all those shoots that you've been going, those on-location shoots. I totally wanted him to, like, when Brooke rolled up into Forrester to, like, play the bitches back, because she was just phenomenal. Like, when Rich told her that, you know, Rick shot at him, you know, and he was like, I'm telling the police. She was like, no, you're not. He's like, did you just hear what I said? Like, he was shocked. Like, Ridge really thought that Brooke was going to be like, oh, Ridge, my destiny. And when he was like, she shot at me, and she was like, I don't care. I was like, well, that just went out the window. Like, I love the fact that Brooke is picking her kid over a man, because you know, sometimes on soaps, they'll pick a man over their kid fast in a hurry. And she is like, she's just going there. And I love today that I kind of wanted them to do this. They're teasing with it, but they won't go there. I'm kind of a little bummed that the B&B won't do it. And it would be kind of apropos since it's Black History Month when Maya was like, you know, do you have a problem with me? Is it because I'm not a Spencer? Is it because I was struggling? Is it because I'm just a model? I thought she was going to be like, is it because I'm Black? I wanted them to go there so bad.
I was hoping that. I'm wondering if they're building to it.
Yes!
It's such a carefully crafted storyline, and they've brought her little sister to town. I mean, they've really set it up for that to just come out and, like, when things get even more epic about this, because, I mean, it's to the point where she's going for everything else, where she's like, is it because I'm a night owl? Is it because I'm wearing a blue shirt? Like, she's saying everything but the obvious thing.
You know, it's like, is it because I eat kale? I'm like, come on, go for the jugular. We know it's not true with Brooke. You know what I mean? Like, that would be kind of like, girl, you know, I'm looking for Brooke to be like, girl, please. You know, I'm not racist. Hell, I've had a few in my day. Or something. That would be kind of awesome if Brooke, like, said something. You know what I mean? I just want them to go there with that. But, oh, today's show, when she told Caroline that she could take Ridge if she want to, ooh, that was fantastic. And it's just so great. She, you know, we know she knows that Rick is out of control, but she's also blaming Caroline and Ridge for that. She told Caroline what I wanted people to hear. You know that this boy does not like Ridge. And who do you mess around with? You mess around with his mortal enemy. You know this is his mortal enemy, and you still decided to sniff around him. Ridge knows damn well that Rick cannot stand him, but he still is messing with his life yet again. And she looks at Rick, you know, she knows Rick is her child, but she's just like, all right, now, come on. You need to stop your shit now. Only thing I really wish they would have played in there, I'm wondering if they're going to do that down the line. I hope they bring it up, is Thomas. You know, when Rick was like telling Ridge, when Ridge was like, you know, I'm gonna tell on you. I'm going to tell the cops. And Rick was like, oh, okay, go do it. I thought Rick was going to be like, then I'll tell what Thomas did. He blew up my car when I was messing with Steffi. You know, like, they need to bring up all that as well to show that this is a dysfunctional, this is not only Rick, that they just all have a dysfunctional family going on. But B&B was just fantastic.
And I also want to point out that, like, last, like, that they, I love that they actually had Rick shoot at them, because we were all like, oh, it must be a dream sequence. No, Rick is just the best shot in daytime. He could outshoot any of the mobsters, because he can at point blank
shoot
all through a room and manage to hit everybody after unloading a whole gun. So,
didn't even break a sweat when he did it. He was just like, what? Loved it. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I'm enjoying Bold and Beautiful. I think they're handling some of their stories really well. Brooke's return was fantastic. I agree with Jillian and Sarah. I just think that her taking everybody on one by one and just dismantling all of them has been a pleasure to watch. And I can't believe it, but I actually see some good things coming down the pike if they play it out right.
Oh, did you see? But did y'all see how Quinn was scared shitless that Brooke was back?
Yeah.
Quinn was scared.
Well, I
kind of
like this. I like this take no prisoners of Liam as well. And I think that this Steffi coming back, I know, like, the triangles with Steffi and Liam are
tough. It was so good to see her.
But I really feel like if these two can make a go for Forrester, that it could be really good. And if Ridge and Caroline do decide to leave, and they can do something else, because I love that Brooke just said, if you don't like it, you can go.
I don't really want Caroline stuck with Ridge for a while.
I'm kind of grossed out by that pairing. I think it's disgusting. So I can't even really like the two of them together at all. It doesn't work for me.
Well, while we're on the topic of Caroline, our thoughts go out to her portrayer, Lindsay Godfrey, who was walking down the sidewalk and was involved in a car accident, or two cars were in an accident, and they went onto the sidewalk, hit her, and according to TMZ, she was pinned underneath a car and broke two legs. Oh. So our thoughts definitely go out to her, her baby daddy. Ugh, and her baby.
I hate that terminology. But Steffi being back, didn't you just like when Steffi was just like, when Steffi told Liam, oh, she looks like me. I'm like,
I know what he's like. You got a type.
Go ahead, Sarah. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm like, you got a type. And I felt like being like, yeah, you know, you like the brown, like you like the brunettes who actually get you going. And you just think you should be with the little prissy blondes. Because, like, look how much better Liam is away from Hope. Let's just keep that real.
But I've always liked him with Steffi.
But, like, Ivy, like, I mean, with, you know, Steffi just is about to do Ivy just same way Brooke just did
yes!
Caroline. Because, I mean, Ivy is kind of like the pale, watered-down version of Steffi in a lot of ways. And
I kind of think, Steph, you know, I kind of wish B&B would have pointed this out when Hope was on the canvas. I think that Steffi is actually a brunette Brooke. And
Hope, she had the potential to be.
Definitely. And Hope was a blonde Taylor. I feel it's the same thing here. I feel Ivy is an Australian Taylor and Steffi is still the brunette Brooke. And I wish, you know, they just had a scene where Brooke would just be like, you hate me because I took your mother's man away. You just hate me because you are me or something. I just wish they would point that out. Meanwhile, I gotta give a shout.
I also have to say, I have to call out Steffi, though, for being like, I can't believe the age difference between Caroline and Ridge. That's so disgusting. When that girl was, like, thirsty for dollar bills.
Well, to be fair, she was trying to manipulate.
Oh, so what? Who cares? You were still trying to, and you still wanted to bust up that man's family. She fell for him. That's why I kind of wish that she runs into Katie and she says something, and Katie be like, oh, the way you were sniffing around. around my man, you bitch, you. Want Katie to get her good. Meanwhile, gotta give a shout out to my Katie. She didn't even give Bill any good, and he busted out a ring today. He broke out a ring. He hasn't even whiffed her carpet, her shag carpeting, in like years. And he was like, marry me. I'm like, damn. I'm like, you learn pointers from your sister, girl. Oh, I loved it. B&B.
I know. It was an awfully big ring because it's pretty easy to beat a piece of string. But, you know, he went whole hog with the five carrots there.
It's like, this is a ring. This is what that dressmaker should have given your ass instead of that funky ass ring, that funky ass string.
Oh! Mike, are you interested in Katie Shag?
I wish Katie would just kind of bow up against Bill just a little bit more. She's just like fallen into her tears routine. But I really have always liked them together anyway. And I'm not surprised that they are kind of pushing them back together, because I kind of see Ridge going after Brooke going after Ridge just despite Caroline.
Well, I mean, I'm giving this to Katie. She's not falling for Dollar Bill like how other bitches would have fall for him. You know what I mean? Like, she is making him work for it. And based on the spoilers, she does not like go, yes, Bill, like right off the bat. Like, she's making Bill work.
Well, I think she's not going to trust him as readily as she did before.
No, I mean, she'd be a dumbass if she did that. But, girl, you a dumbass. But she's making.
She's not a dumbass.
No, she is making Bill work for it, and I love it. I love the fact that she's not letting him get off lightly for what he did. I mean,
well, she got what she wanted out of the company, and
yes,
she got all that too. She got the before the ring, she got all that.
Exactly, and she didn't even get.
So she's in a way, she's manipulating him because she knows what he wants from her, and she'll get what she wants, and then maybe she'll marry him.
I
she
don't
see
her as manipulating him. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. That's kind of far-fetched to say that.
She's using his affection to her benefit. It may not be a blatant manipulation, but she's definitely taking advantage of what she wants.
That?
Huh?
Sir, not you. Well, we know what you think. Sarah, are you seeing that?
No, not really. I gotta be honest.
Luke, are you seeing that?
No.
I'm like, I don't see that at all. I'm like, are we watching the same show, Mike? I mean, I get, you know, I'm not discounting your opinions, but from where I'm sitting, I don't see Katie using, manipulating, or playing up anything for Bill. Bill, you know, the way how they're playing this out from what I've seen, she has been quite content being a stay-at-home mom with that funky-ass ring on her finger, stanking it up and shit. But she was kind of cool with, after her and Rich broke up, she was kind of cool with still being a stay-at-home mom. She never once said to Bill, I want to come back to the company. She never said it to Karen, see? Karen or Liam, you know, Bill actually stepped to her with that offer.
She got what she wanted out of the offer. It wasn't like she just took it without any kind of stuff that she wanted to add into it.
But I don't see her manipulating him at all. I mean,
well, I don't think she's doing it on purpose.
I think she's setting the terms.
Yeah, like exactly, like a good.
She's setting the terms of what their relationship
is. Right, like a good business partner, like a good businesswoman, I think, should any good business, you know, if that was, like, okay, if that was you and me, Mike, and you came to me, I'm not going to be like, okay, boo. No, I'm going to be like, wait a minute, you want me back. I didn't come to you, and these are my terms. You're not just going to give me this all willy-nilly. I'm going to tell you how a T.I. is before I sign my John Hancock on that paper with a shady-ass lawyer. And that's how I felt she was doing, because let's just be real, Bill did her dirty when she was working at that company. So I don't see her manipulating him at all. If anything, he's actually trying to do the manipulation so that he can get closer to her.
Sarah, speaking of manipulation, what did you think of Devon turning the tables on Colin?
Well, I mean, first of all, I like that, you know, he took a turn and sort of acted like an actual smart billionaire, and that like Kane stepped up and was actually kind of cool in that moment after being all like, oh, I don't know if I can, you know, do this and you shouldn't be cheating. But like when they, you know, I like that, like basically they put a count up of a good way to put Colin in check. Like, I will tell Victor all this shady stuff you are doing to get the money if you try and bust me and my, you know, bust my relationship up. I mean, that was like a, you know, that was actually a moment when I was watching YNR and I was like, yeah, okay, bring it. I mean,
yeah, because I actually wanted that to happen myself. I'm like, I really want Kane or somebody to find out, or Devon to be like, wait a minute, I am Catherine Chancellor's damn grandbaby. I am Tucker, whatever your last name is, son. I ain't gonna let this two-bit mobster, because he is a two-bit mobster, he don't even scare my niece, and she's two, and she plays with boogers. You know, I'm so glad he was like, I ain't finna let this fool, you know, blackmail me. So YNR was getting pretty crunk with that, and then, yeah. Proceed, yeah. Sarah!
I know. Yeah, I know. I mean, that like that's a moment, and it's like, how do I put this? With this sort of business storyline they're building, I feel like, you know, they've got all the ingredients. They just need to, like, figure out a recipe now to make this all work. Because I'm like, in theory, this should be as, like, on fire as, like, the Forrester stuff is on Bold. But because we haven't – they haven't done the building blocks. Like, I don't get what the deal is with this perfume and why Victor is even bothering himself with it, you know.
Girl, Jamie and I had a talk about this. And if he was on this podcast, I think he would have been like, ah! Because he, you know, we all call Luke literal man. But Jamie took it to the extreme. He was like, no, wait a minute. You mean to tell me Ashley couldn't use her phone? They just rolled up in there, didn't show her no warrant, wouldn't let her use her phone, and they just waltzed out of there with her perfume. Nobody calls a lawyer. Like, Billy finally is like, I think we need to call our attorney. Like, no, I'm like, seriously, the war, it is in history, the wars that Jabot and Newman have, the Newmans and the Abbotts had over the years, this would have been cutthroat. Like, this would have been really cutthroat. Like, Jack would have been like, y'all ain't going nowhere until my lawyers get here. Like, Jack would have had that on lockdown or something, and they just waltzed in there all willy-nilly. And then Victoria and Ashley having that girl chat. You're a woman, I'm a woman, everybody's a woman. You can't do this, Victoria. Don't let him do this. I've been trying to prove myself for Jackie, and you're proving yourself for your daddy. I'm like, what
are these women trying to prove shit to?
I was like, are y'all gonna bake bread? Are y'all gonna braid each other's hair? Y'all gonna crochet soon? What the fuck? Like,
Ashley has designed, like, what, 100 great cosmetic products?
Thank you.
She should be being like, Jack, why have you let the company go to hell in my absence? Why don't you step up and get this thing worthy of me?
This right now should be like, with all the shit Jack is going on with, this should be Ashley's time to be like, you know what? I'm running this bitch right now. Look at you. You can't run a company. You can't even run your bedroom. You got this shit going on. Like, this should be the time for Ashley and Dingbat Abby to step up and be like, we are going to be running this bitch right now. Billy is too busy moo cowing over Victoria and Chelsea, you know, the female rapist. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about their chemistry. That girl raped Billy, and it's gross. You know, Ashley should be like, you don't know what you planning on doing from one day to the next. Like, it should be the women taking charge right now. Victoria should be with her dad, like, not letting him, like, run roughshod. She should be like, Dad! You know what I mean? Like, and...
You mean like she was when Heather Tom played her? Yes.
Thank you, ma'am. And that was
one Well, thing. We're never going to get that.
No, we're going to get it. Never going
to
get
and
it.
You could, but you could write it and then you'd get much closer to it because she's playing what's written.
You know, and I'm sick and tired of people like, you know, I'm going to cut this girl. You know, okay. I know some people say she can't play it and they're playing to her strengths, but I think that's a cop out with the writing and with her too. Like, I think a director should pull her over, give her the scene like Heather Tom and say, look, we want you to play it like this. We want you to put your foot into it, girl. And I'm sure, you know, if she can't do it, then whatever. But give her the chance to do it. You know what I mean? And this was one thing that Jamie said, and I was like, oh, my God, yeah. He was like, Victoria would not go along with Victor's shenanigans because yeah. I'm like, Victor, exactly. I'm like, Nick called the feds on his ass for the price, was it price tampering or the product, the product
oh, the
shelf.
FCC.
Yeah, he called them the feds because Victor did the, he, you know, was able to manipulate the shelving to get top spot for his product versus Jabot's. Victoria was so disgusted by him. That's how Heather Tom left the canvas. She like told his ass off. When he did that, she was just, you know, she's always had Victor's back, but that was just like when she was like, oh, hell no, like, this is disgusting. You went and did that, and that damn man broke Victor's heart because, once again, she was the female Victor. You mean to tell me that now they're letting Victoria just be like, okay, this is, they're just like, I don't know, they're just writing it
well,
the way.
Well, it's just they're writing all the women as subservient to men, oh, and girl. It is really just starting to piss me off, like, not to be all like girl power, but girl yes. power, because like, why does Jill need Collins help to make a run for Chancellor?
Exactly.
Jill's got decades of experience as a businesswoman. Yeah. Like, let her come up with her own scheme. Hell, let her do something real dirty, like find out Nikki's drunk and blackmail with her that to get like some, you know, secret information and do it down.
Hey, babe, don't you do it. Don't you dare say for that bastard to blackmail my Nikki. Don't you do it. I'm not having that. I'm not allowing that, I tells you. No.
Well, no, not for Jill. I mean, or like, or get Nikki on her side. Hell, just like, you know, have the women just like kick them ass.
Yeah, I mean, Collins should be Jill's little hella monkey. You know what I mean? Like, he should be her little hella monkey. Like, if Weiner played what Collins' background was, which was he was this badass cutthroat mobster in Australia, if you somehow use that for Collins to be like, yeah, like, we muscled in on some shipments that Victor was coming through, you know, our trucking, you know, the trucks, the boys, you know, the boys saw that his delivery was coming and we slowed it. We muscled in on his delivery on this, that, the third, you know, that would be like, okay, cool. Like Colin is, you know, showing his weight, but Jill running to him with his broke ass and he ain't got no money for help. Like, come on. Like this.
I don't know. One of the terms of Devon's giving her that money was that she left Colin out of it. So that might put him into a position where he's going to fight for money because he's greedy. He's always greedy.
Something. I mean, it just does not make, like, they are kind of writing the women like, huh? Like, the women there need to be back.
Oh, yeah. Jill's totally boo-boo the fool over there.
And
well, and then there's Sharon, yeah. who, let's just say, yeah. has needing rehab for...
You can't talk about Sharon.
Practically
no, we don't talk game. About Sharon, because under every... Well, see, Chuck Pratt ain't never... I don't think he's given an interview since he took over. So I'll give this to Chuck. Chuck has not said, oh, we're going to revamp Sharon. Previous regimes, Jill included, has said, we're going to revamp Sharon. Except for Gene. Gene was like, I ain't never said that. You ain't got me on tape. But everybody has said they're going to revamp Sharon. They're going to make her stronger. They need to do something with her. Like, you know, maybe Sharon can Trump Nick and show that the Newmans can't run everything.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Dildum and Joe.
Ugh. Is that still a story?
Mike, what are
I
you
mean,
thinking?
I mean, technically.
God, the best thing about that was when Avery went all wired up and Kevin was listening in on them, and I thought there was going to be some funky monkey stuff going on there, but that didn't work out. But she did say she was going to have to go back and investigate that lead a little bit farther. I don't know what's going on with Dylan, honestly. But I do like there's some the little heat between Avery and Joe. Definitely.
He needs to die. Like, he's not working out.
No,
I
he's
mean,
not working who? Out.
Joe, Joe, the dude who plays Joe.
Oh, no, Dylan I like Joe.
Dylan needs to die.
Well,
by
you know that ain't gonna happen. Them Sony hackers need to release them in, release that tea. Them no. Sony hackers are mad at them. They should release that tea on what's going on over there so we can just see why they're justifying keeping Dylan. But, you know, when we see what Avery...
There is no way that Dylan contributes to ratings growth on YNR.
No, I mean, yeah. Joe.
As long as Jill's there, He's going to be there.
Yeah, shit. Like, Joe and Dylan need to die in a blaze of glory. I mean, the guy is great to look at. I'm not disputing that.
Oh, I like him.
Oh, yeah. So there's a plot line where, like, he's mute and he's shirtless all the time. That'd be my favorite story.
He is gorgeous, but he's just boring and dry. Like, I can't buy him as no lawyer. I'd bust out laughing if he was like, I'm here to represent you. I'd be like, represent me in what? An Abercrombie and Fitch campaign?
Well, now that Victor's dropped that whole thing, I don't know what's that going to do to the character. I mean, is he going to have a reason to stay? Because the whole point of him being
He's going to end up as another Paul's sons.
I think Joe, has an advanced case of Ian Ward syndrome, where they were like, oh, this guy's so bad. He's so scary. We're not sure why, but we're going to have everyone act like they're really scared of him. And it's like, ooh, what? He had some people throw a rock through Dylan's window? Dylan, who is, like, into special forces and should be able to, you know, handle, like, a broken window? I mean, it was just, like, you know, he's just weak sauce. Like, everything he's done.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of shifts in storylines over the last couple of weeks that I feel like, you know, whenever somebody new comes on, they like don't like certain things and they try to change it around really quickly. So I see Victor actually, as much as I hate Victor, in the last few episodes I've watched him, he's had some moments where I was like, okay, that's the Victor I remember, that I could see a little bit of light under all that hateful, constant moaning and groaning and belly aching and stuff that he does. So I have a little – I don't know. I've seen some better episodes in the last couple of weeks than I have in a long time. So we'll see.
Let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives. Mike.
Yo.
Teresa this week. I know she's a favorite of yours.
Yeah.
But what do you think of how this whole storyline involving Clint is developing?
Well, I think with her, it was clear right from the first time that he was working with the doctor that Kristen was working with. And then I still think that Melanie is going to end up being friends with her because she was lurking around when he was talking to the doctor. So, you know, I think she's having more dreams. She's having flashbacks with her memory. This is all going to come together when Kristen comes back. And I think ultimately Melanie and Brady, they don't really do anything for me. I think I like her with Brady. I think those two are the ones that have the heat.
Wait, you just said that Melanie and Brady weren't doing anything.
Well, not yet. No, they're
so who has just the heat?
Oh, no. Teresa and Brady.
Okay,
I like Teresa and Brady. Like, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, Teresa and Brady definitely have.
They definitely do. And, you know, I wish they would have more reasons for them to interact as enemies, and that I wish that we would see that Teresa is more screwed up throughout all of her actions about, you know, having the fetus snatching than, you know, now. Because now it's like she's like, you know, haha, light Teresa. You know, scheming Teresa. And then, like, it's like every, like, week or so they remember, oh, we should have a scene where we, like, flash back to this one thing that happened months ago so we could see she's, like, occasionally still thinking about it. Because, like, I thought this was supposed to be this big turning point for her character. And, you know, we aren't
I think it sort of is because she gets defensive very quickly. I still think that there's, like, I can see, like, more layers to her. I kind of feel like that she's having these memories and she doesn't really understand why she's having them, but I guess she'll figure it out eventually. But I do think that even when Brady's pissed off at her, he still finds a reason to talk to her and run into her.
Jillian, Eve's thing for Paige is having JJ leave town. Compelling story.
Yes, it's so compelling. I can't stop watching it. Dun, dun, dun. What are they doing to Eve?
That's what I say.
What are they doing to Eve? Like, ugh, I don't like it.
They won't move the story along. Like, if you're going to tell the story, tell the story. Like,
yeah,
I think
they're getting eventually to a point where aren't they supposed to sleep together again?
But I mean, how is that going to be different than the other times? Like, it's just like,
well, I don't know, because I think they're going to get caught. I think Teresa's going to figure out it's Eve that is, because Paige went to her and asked asked Teresa for some advice to find out who JJ's been fooling around with. And she gave it straight up advice to her about how she can find out. So I think that JJ and Eve are probably going to – I don't know if they'll move forward publicly. I mean, that would be kind of awesome, actually, if they did that for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, just even let them have a full-on affair, because it's like, they're emotionally, they haven't progressed since the first time they had sex. That's what's, like, why I think, like, I get so frustrated with the show. I mean, it apparently doesn't bother you, Mike, but I'm just like, where's the lingering attraction? We're like, JJ's kissing Paige, and he's like, oh, but it's not hot like it was with Eve, or like, you know, like the old school, like, Tad is like, dating Liza, but sleeping with Mary,
the
her mother
yeah,
thing.
Right.
I mean, I just
do think that I will admit that their breaking up has been kind of torture for me. I just kind of feel like if they are going to break
what?
Up, to break up. You heard me.
What? Look, this shit cut out again. What?
They seem to have like the same conversation over and over again, and it's just like, just break up already, Paige. What? Just go sleep with somebody else and.
Hey, it's time for you to turn another one. Turn a new chapter, honey, because you just... Mm.
Now, Sarah, you're enjoying Paul?
Yeah, that's actually the most... Like, it's interesting because there's ambiguity to it, where you're like, you're not entirely sure why Will slept with Paul. I don't think Will's entirely sure why Will slept with Paul other than that he's hot. And, you know, you're not quite sure if Paul is this, you know, noble guy who's about to come out, or like, he's playing Will, and he's playing Sonny, and it's like, it's all, you know, set up for when this article comes out for like Sonny to be like, what? And, you know, I mean, they have actually built out this story properly so that there are consequences, so that, you know, nobody knows everything, because, I mean, it's, in part it's stupid, it's built because Will and Sonny don't have conversations like actual married people would, like, hey, my ex is in town. You know, Sonny could have said that at any point and prevented all of this. But it's like, you know, I feel like it's building someplace. It's hot. And, you know, GH teased about having a gay threesome. But these guys, they could actually do it because, you know, everyone's going to have slept with everyone by like.
Oh, then there's Derek. Don't forget about Derek. It could be a foursome.
Oh, the bellboy? Derek, yeah. The bellboy is the best new character to come on Days in like the past year. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
I think, like, my thing is, like, I wanted him to scoop Will, you know, like Will is waiting for this big exclusive to come out that he would run into Nicole and tell Nicole what he knows, and then Nicole scoops Will on his.
Oh,
that would be fantastic if Nicole outed both Will and Paul.
Yeah.
That would be.
Get what's going on with Sarita. That would be epic.
Oh my god!
That, and then I love that
Victor would be pissed, yep. Because of course this was affecting Sonny. Will would be pissed because, and then not only that, but just Sammy and Nicole's past rivalry. There's that element that for those of us who've been watching that long, it would be amazing.
And then Kate knows what Will did, which was great. Those two had a wonderful conversation about consequences and should you talk about it, should you not talk about it, and Kate and Nicole
and
don't get along.
Our lady got sanctimonious on it. Nicole could be like, you showed porn at a wedding.
Yeah. She could be like, your daughter saw you hunching somebody uh-huh. that wasn't her daddy on a conference room table, and that's why she's batshit crazy now. That would be awesome.
Well,
that'd
I mean,
be awesome.
Nicole,
Mike, could you write the show?
I did go that... on. I did tweet that I really am. I'm stalled with Nicole. I love Nicole, but her trying to find a man to make her a better person is driving me crazy. Just let her be herself and get into trouble and do what she does, because that's the Nicole that I love. I don't like Nicole that's trying to make Daniel happy and make Eric happy and just. It just drives me crazy sometimes. That I would really like to see Nicole just bust out of it and say, you know, I'm a badass. Screw all of you. I don't need you, and I don't need you, and I don't need you.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
That would be wonderful. See, Mike, now I see why you like Days, because you're like the version of Days that's in your head is really good.
Mike's fantasy Days is way better than what's actually taking place.
It'll get there. I have faith.
Well, let's talk about something that got there this last week.
Oh.
Dante ended up in Fluke's basement,
yeah.
Bashed over the head, and when he finally became conscious and was able to see clear enough. Instead of finding Luke tied to a chair, he found a skeleton with a really nasty looking face. Now, Sarah, this is the storyline that will have never seems to end.
But
what are your thoughts?
But at least it's like, I will say this, like, I get mad at GH and then like they pull out all the stops and I'm like all into it and there's like shootouts and there's, you know, cheap special effects from like horror movies and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, this is fun. It's campy, but it's fun. I mean, I'm assuming it's Bill Eckert's body that they dug up of the grave.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Somehow swapped it out at some point, which then begs the question if either Luke is like doing a Fight Club thing and doesn't realize, you know, he's become Luke perhaps from Helena's conditioning, or you know, it's his sister Patricia, or you know, door number four. But
I have a theory.
It's Pat.
I think Luke is a split. I think he's got DID, and I think that he, in his mind, is in the basement, and it's really been Bill Eckert that's tied up his body the whole time. And I think that Luke is Luke, but he's just playing in his mind. He's got different personalities, and that's why Patricia is mentioned, and that's why Luke and Fluke are all the same person.
They said who Fluke Pook was. That is Luke. Like, we know who it is. It's Luke. It looks like he had a split from reality.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, so.
So in his mind, this is always him. His mental picture is that he's tied up in the basement, but the reality is he's not tied up in the basement. He probably stole the body at some point, and that body represents himself.
Well, I don't care who. I'm, you know.
Well, they better have a good explanation for why his personality splits, because you have to go through a lot of shit when you're a kid.
Helena.
So maybe.
Helena, a one-word response.
That's it. Like, if she can condition Jason, she can condition Luke.
Hell, remember she showed Lucky that big-ass crystal, which was supposed to be the Ice Princess, and he didn't know his name, so,
No, I was thinking more, they keep talking about Bobby's past with her aunt. Maybe he was sold off as not as prostitute, but as used by other people. And he always had DID, but now they're just going to write. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But I think that they're going to have to come up with a very plausible reason why Luke all of a sudden has a split personality, if that's in fact what is going on. Unless he just wakes up one day and he's actually in the mental hospital and everything's just been a dream for the last year.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, and you know, on one hand, like, this, it would be a twist that I think Tony Geary would be on board with, because, you know, he's been so enthusiastic about it, because it gives him stuff to play. On the other hand, they have just did the DID storyline with Connie, and, you know, and then it is the question of, like, why was Luke's split personality so eager to take over Sonny's territory? Mm-hmm. So...
maybe Bill Eckert was really a figment of his imagination, and it wasn't his cousin. But then he died in his arms, so it's all very confusing.
Maybe stop.
Luke was and Bill Eckert the whole time.
You hush your face, Mike, because don't you dare say that, because I remember when Bill Eckert came on my screen as a kid, and I didn't.
Kidding.
Jillian, what did you think of the prison break?
Oh, you know, I love that my baby Sonny is coming home. I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. I love how everybody was like, why is Franco with us? Nobody was here for Franco. They all wanted him gone.
Yeah, that's, he was like the unpopular kid in school that no one wants to sit next to on the school bus. It was hilarious.
Oh, the best part was Ava calling him a bitch. That was hilarious. That was hilarious. I'll admit, like, the whole thing of them getting out of the prison was completely stupid. But once they were in the car, I was completely entertained with that whole dialogue. It was so good.
And
I really need Ava to be a badass.
I know. I was like, give her a gun, Franco. She's the only person in that crew who can shoot.
Yeah, that's true.
That is very true.
And, I mean,
she can actually kill people.
Yeah,
I mean, I like that Carlos is actually, because again, I'm like, if you're going to write a character who's a mobster, make him a mobster. I like that Carlos is ready to kill, and I will say this, dude looked hot as hell in that tuxedo with that gun. Like,
Boots, it's up.
Yeah, I was like, where you been, Puss in Boots?
Listen, Puss in Boots is always fantastic to see on General Hospital. It's his other one that isn't. So, the other big storyline of the week.
I still don't like that.
Jake.
Puke fluke is whatever. Not really.
Arrested. Jillian.
What?
How are you enjoying this storyline?
I just feel as though they're dragging. This is another one that they're dragging out that they need to, you know, it's February. February sweeps. Isn't there a February sweeps?
Yeah.
There is a February sweeps.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure. But they need to, during this month, they need to have Jason, they need to decide if he's going to be Jason Quartermain or Jason Morgan, because they've just dragged this out to smithereens and everything. And, you know, I'm just tired of it. Jamie and I were joking about Carly sicking the cops on Jake, you know. And I'm like, she was like, I can't believe she did that. I'm like, well, she sure as hell cut for Franco. So I can't see Carly getting buck about Jake. I'm like, Carly is probably like, look, I can't, you know, once bitten, twice shy. I can't overlook this because I let Franco into my bed when he orchestrated my son's rape. Tumor or no tumor. So.
Well, I have a question, and I know that, like, Sam had a picture of the man in the mask, and he was looking directly at the camera. And to me, she should have recognized those eyes right away, or Elizabeth, or Carl, don't you think? I mean, when you look at that face.
In the mask. Ugh, I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't care anymore, because the story is dragged out.
It is.
And, you know. Don't nobody look like they're interested in playing it in there. And you can, I'm like, y'all can figure that out yourselves. I'm like, come on. I'm waiting for Billy Miller to pick up a gun again and be like, son, you know, I've seen him shoot, but I just waiting for him to be like, no, Sean, this how you shoot. I got you, Sonny. I got you. Like, I'm waiting for him to be a mobster, or he's going to go to ELQ and be like, Tracy, you sit your ass down or something. Like, decide something quick, because my attention span on this storyline has just waned.
I know, and you're like Jason fan number one.
Yes, I am a Jason. I told you I was sitting shiver when that fool decided, I don't want to be at GH anymore. I want to fly in and out. Nobody wants to fly me in, even though I said it in several interviews. I'm still lying. Yeah, I'm going to go there. You know, I'm so over. Like, you know, I'm so over this storyline. Like, they need to have Jason do something right now. Like, you know?
I almost feel like they had a direction when they brought him on as Jake Doe, but now they just, I feel like they don't know which way to go. That's my impression. I just, when I watch it, I feel like they had a direction. There was a definite story that was going to be told, you know, with Elizabeth and him getting his memory back and being a Quartermain and all this stuff. Now I feel like, you know, Helena's in the mix and he's got a gun and he's killing people and he's kidnapping. And it's almost like I feel Robin, like they don't know which way to go.
I'm like, you know, we saw Robin, what was it, a week or two ago, or Robin popped up and we were like, bitch, what you doing here? Like, they need to decide. Frank needs to pull her to the side and say, and Ron needs to be in on the interview, on the meeting too. I mean, you know, people give him hell, but I'm like, he can only do what his boss puts out. You know, they all three of them, Ron, what's his face, Frank, and Kimberly need to sit down, Skype, FaceTime, smoke signal, whatever, and say, okay, look, we need you, because Kimberly's Robin needs to be a part of this storyline. She's a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
And this coming and going shit, I am a Robin fan for life. You know, y'all know that. And this is just not working out with Kimberly coming and going as she pleases in these short periods of time. I know she's into directing. Frank needs to just lay the cards out on the table and say, look, baby girl, we need you here for this amount of time. Are you going to be here? And if she hems and haws, he says, he needs to say, or Dora number two, we're going to have to recast your ass, because we need you here for this. You're a big chunk of this storyline. And, You know, if she says yes, they need to, that day they need to make her sign a contract. And if she says no, they need to find someone to play her, because she really is integral in all of this.
Right.
They need to have her come, you know, Robin come in there, do her thing, and then we need to see who Jake decides to be with. And again, I think Robin is a part of that too, because Robin brought him back to life. I mean, that's the second time that Robin, quote unquote, brought him back to life. When he was Jason Morgan, Robin made him, you know, learn shit again. You know what I mean? And now she did the same thing again. Like, they need to decide if he's going to be with Liz, Sam, or Robin. If he wants to go back to his life with Sam, start something again with Liz, or go back with Robin. You know? Yeah, Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and like, they really, the thing with the Robin thing is they have literally set it up that once again, he's the guy without a past, and given that she's lost her family, she's the, and been in this nebulous Kissidit state, she's the girl without a future. Like, you gotta play that out, because it's such a beautiful setup for him to do it, because they keep teasing us with the beats of, like, Jason past storylines. He has this weird thing with Carly. He has, you know, he has this connection to Liz, you know, and it's like, just pick one of those and go full throttle with them, because, like, any of those things could work. It's just like, pick a story.
Yeah,
yeah,
I've
agreed with you that you've been saying about the recast for Robin. I'm totally behind that. I've thought that for a long time, that they're missing a lot with Patrick and the kid, Emma. And that whole thing with her mother, everything is all tied together. And I do think even Sabrina, I know, Luke, you don't like her, but she's still part of the equation, because she was going to marry Patrick at one time. I do feel like that they need to make a decision about what they want to do with her.
Yeah, like, I feel as though, like what Sarah said, they're totally, like, they're not ripping anything off, but they're playing, you know, it's such familiar beats that they need to have Kimberly or a new Robin come back. Like, Jason didn't know who he was. Robin didn't know if she was coming or going when they first, like, got together-ish, you know what I mean, where their romance started, like, 20-some-odd years ago. They need to do that again, and they need, this is like crunch time. They need to tell Kimberly, look, put up a shut-up. I know some GH, you know, purist, quote-unquote purist, will be like, that's heresy, but she cannot keep that role hostage. You can't do that. You can't.
And I also wonder if they're writing to try to build up some sort of fan war, like there used to be with Sam and Jason and Liz, and they're trying to recreate that whole thing, and I don't.
Well, they would have. They have a good one right now. They would have three, four, even. They would have. Well, they have multiple. Sam and Jason, Jason and Liz, Jason and Robin, Robin and Patrick, Sam and Patrick.
And then there's the whole Quartermain angle, which we is way down the road.
You know, they have so much good things going on. Yeah.
And Billy's got great chemistry with all of them. He works really well with all of them. Where you could pick a couple that you like and root for them, but
I have to say it was a little bit weird this last week, though, watching Billy Abbott and Abby Newman share scenes together. It was like, this is sort of weird.
Billy, what you doing with Abbott? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like, it really feels like they're filibustering or something, because it's like they have all this great stuff.
Sarah, you're using
play.
All these big words. I got to get my dictionary out.
You know, I'm really baffled.
Are going to be involved.
As to why they aren't playing it, unless like the Fluke storyline has to play out and like he needs to do one more thing as, you know, the pawn or whatever he's supposed to be this time.
And did any of you guys notice that Helena somehow swiped Faith Roscoe's like white fur coat?
Yeah,
and hat?
That was awesome.
Bitch bye, fur bitch bye. That ain't no Faith Roscoe. Helena has always been fabulous before there was a.
No, she's always been fabulous, but like I always remember that scene with Faith Roscoe in the white fur coat and hat. It was like, oh.
Yeah, I remember when Sarah said that.
To me, Faith Roscoe was like the daughter that Helena never had and definitely needed to.
Well, she had a woman in white.
Why can't we vote for her to come back?
Yeah, did you see that poll?
Yeah, okay, tell everybody about the poll.
For Fan February, General Hospital is letting fans, quote-unquote, vote for which former GH character they would like to come back for what's being termed a guest appearance at the nurse's ball. And all the characters are, you know, I'm pretty sure they're all characters who are dead. Not that that means
except
anything.
For Mike. Except for Mike.
Except for Mike. That's right. Mike's still around.
Cassadine is never dead.
But it's also kind of funny because I'm figuring, like, the choices are like,
you know, Kung Fu Barbie.
Let her tell it. Go ahead, Sarah.
Stephen, Courtney, Mike, and oh god, who's the fourth one? It was someone. It was like someone else that is. Let me pull this thing up.
Yeah.
Like someone that's similarly low profile. So I'm like, either they're all coming back, and like people are seeing the ghost, because it's like, you know, you can come up with reasons why each of them would be resonant for, you know, another character for some short-term little thing, or like they just stacked it because like Stefan's the only one of those people that like people care about.
The little actress who played Serena Baldwin.
That's kind of foul how they did that, because Serena would be pimp right about, because Stefan and Serena would be pimp right about now.
Stefan and Serena would be fantastic.
Now, when I saw Courtney, I wanted to, you should see me looking for, listen, like I got Frank.
I will dig up a freaking, what are those, voodoo dolls and start sticking pins in it if Courtney shows up.
I start grabbing my cell. I'm like, who are you calling? You don't have Frank and Ron number. Who the hell are you calling? Because I was too through. I'm like, Courtney, really? That's some bullshit right there.
I just feel like they've got to be like stacking the deck for like Stefan, because it's almost like, because it's like if someone asked you, what would you rather have, $1 million or a bowl of soup? I mean, you know, it's fairly clear what you're going to choose.
Yeah, I was like, that is some foul shit right there. But you know how life is so funny? You know,
there's all those people who loved Courtney.
Yeah, all 10 of them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It would be so funny though that, you know, what if this thing ends and they're like, we're bringing Courtney back, the fans have spoken. I think I would I would break Twitter that day, because Stefan would totally be good, and they'd have to bring Jeannie Francis back, man, because I don't
want
her. That
would be mine too, but she said that she doesn't think that General Hospital is a good fit for her.
Well, they can't afford that gal. She costs money, and, well, anyways, I ain't getting into all that right about now, but we'll just say she costs money. That's one of the main things. She costs money, but she and Steph.
Well, they cut some of their cast.
It was a cover on Soap Opera Digest a couple weeks ago. Jeannie Francis said something like she didn't think the way the show is now and is –
Go back to Y&R, girl. Go back to Y&R. Let's see how that foul works. Girl, go on. Go call Jill. Go call her.
She needs to go back to Y&R about as much as we need Courtney to come back to Jennifer.
But see, that's the thing, though. They have Courtney on that pole. Y&R ain't gonna never, ever have Jeannie Francis's, whatever her name was, on no pole while Jill is there.
Genevieve?
Yeah. Genora. She ain't gonna never have her on no pole while Jill is there. So it's like, girl, bye.
Well, going around the circle, Jillian, who did you vote for?
I didn't vote for anyone, but I was really conflicted because I think Serena should come back to give Lulu hell. She should give Lulu hell, but I really want Stefan back. So, I'm going to go with Stefan. I'm going to go with Stefan.
Mike?
I'm not familiar with these characters, and I haven't looked at the poll, so.
You don't know Mike Corbin, Sonny Stank-ass daddy?
I have a vague memory of him.
He's gambling.
He was at Kelly's, right? Didn't he run Kelly's?
Yeah,
he ran Kelly's, and he had a gambling.
He was on Ryan's Hope. That's how I remember him.
Yeah, okay. He had a gambling problem, and he walked out on Sonny and his mama, causing that cop to beat up on Sonny as a kid.
Sarah?
I mean, Stefan all the way. And look, for a very, very long time, I have thought that Stefan and Bobby were one of the great truncated, untold stories on GH, because they...
Sarah Mae Babel, no.
Because of that stupid Catherine thing. And like, I know we can't play... Like, the way Bobby is now, that doesn't make sense. But I'm just saying, like, you could just have, like, one scene of closure there that would make me happy. But what I really want him to do is, like, be like, Nick, You are throwing in with Helena? Oh, no, no, no. Let me tell you how this family is going to be now. And, like, have him make a power play for Cassadine, for Spoon Island, because if there's, you know, he would has spent his whole life trying to keep Nick away from Helena.
Well, but you see, but wait. The thing about that, though, is we're not far enough into that storyline for it to matter. I mean, to me, it's like I'm still having a hard time believing Nicholas being bad.
That's what I'm going to try to piggyback.
Second of all, it undermines Nicholas being bad when Helena is having her minions strong arm him to avoid him being blown up.
Forget that. We don't, you know, this is where the Stefan thing would work, because we don't know if Nicholas is bad or not. That's where Stefan, I think if GH plays it that way, let's just say Stephen Nichols, you got a job.
And you got a job.
Shut up.
No, the thing with Nicholas is that he decided to be bad, and then it was all off screen, and we found out 3 months ago that he fixed an election, so...
Yeah,
No. But what if we don't know, like, let's just say, like I was trying to say, what if we don't know, like, what if one Stephen Nichols, because, Stephen Nichols, you got this job, but don't go pulling up a GH parking spot, because I don't know nothing yet. But let's just say that Stefan comes back. What if GH writes it to where we finally find out that Nicholas is playing Helena and he's been working with Stefan? So, you know what I mean?
At this point,
maybe Nicholas will pull off a mask and he'll be Stefan.
Shut your face. Shut your face, sir. You shut your face.
Every day is Halloween in Port Charles.
It really is.
You shut your face. Every day is, look, I've not been happy with GH because of how long things are, but it's pretty entertaining.
I'm not denying that it's entertaining.
I don't mean you, so you hush. But Mike Jubonville, you, sir, you hush your face. GH is entertaining, whereas Days, child, please.
We have different, I can, entertaining is great, but it's sometimes it's just ridiculous. I can be entertained, but I can't deal with stupid all the time. And there's so much that goes on that does not make sense to me. And that it,
like,
it
just, Heather somehow miraculously ending up in the same place as Nina.
Yeah, I just, well, that,
don't mind that.
That's a soap plot device I can live with. But all those guys breaking out of prison at the same time, I mean, no, that's just stupid.
I like it.
I mean, because it was planned, it wasn't like they all separately broke out of prison, in which case I'd be like, oh, come on. But it's like those guys from Texas did that a few years ago, like a whole bunch of them busted out.
Yeah, they do that all the time. It's not like if there was a situation where, like, Sonny busted out, then then Ava, then Julian, and then Todd, Franco, they all met up at Kelly's, then I'd be like, this is some bullshit. But they all planned it, so I don't mind that. But,
well, technically, Ava didn't plan it. She didn't expect all those people coming along.
Well, you know what I mean? But if they all randomly met up somewhere, I'd be like, this is some dumbass shit right here, Ron. But this is fine with me.
Prison break.
Yeah, and it's also like, do we really want to see them make a Shawshank Redemption Levy escape plan? No, we want to just get them out. You know, this is the story that's being told at the proper pace. So it's like exciting.
Yeah, so whereas Days, do my laundry, I can tell you how many times I blink a day. I've been practicing ABCs with my niece, and she's also been practicing how to slam my laptop lid. She's also been avoiding the cameras. Like, I could tell you how much time she blinks a day.
So, well, it's like Luke said, we watch things differently, and we have different things to entertain us.
According to you, Katie is manipulating Bill. I'm like, what show is he watching?
I didn't say me manipulate in the evil, premeditated sort of way. I feel like she's taking advantage of the situation that she has with him to get what she wants.
What she's doing, Mike, is bargaining from a position of strength.
It ain't nothing.
That's not necessarily manipulation.
That ain't manipulation.
She's bargaining from a position of strength.
Where, when someone comes to you for a job that you didn't ask for, and you set some ground rules, that's not manipulation. That's bargaining. You came to me for something. That's like me coming to you saying, hey, Mike, I got a job. And you say, well, I have some ground rules. I sought you out. You didn't seek me out. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So your interpretation, like, I wonder what's going on in that. Are you, like, what is going on? Are you, like, drinking snow water or something up in Boston? Because you are just so bizarre.
Well, on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye. Boston.